Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. This is Westchester on the Level with your host, Hezzy Eris.
Good morning, everybody. It's Monday, June 13th, 10 o'clock on the Eastern Seaboard. And I'm elated because Monday starts the week, and we always start off with none other than John Bailey, the White Plains Citizenet reporter, publisher, and editor. We do have a little bit of housekeeping to engage in. Robert Keston, the executive director of the People's Movement for Human Rights Learning, he's not going to be able to make it. He flew out this morning, some emergency meeting on the West Coast, so he's not going to be on with us today. But we do have John Bailey. Good morning, John. How are you?
Good morning. I am fine. Ensconced here in White Plains, New York, USA, where it is 72 and sunny, and it's going to be another hot day.
Absolutely, but it's a great place to be ensconced in. You know, White Plains is a good place
yes.
to be ensconced.
Well, yes, in my glass bubble.
Absolutely. Well, we all have a glass bubble, John. I don't know if everyone admits to it, but I know I live in one too. Well, John,
right.
I guess the most important thing that came out recently in it, and it's revealed by the figures that you're already tabulating, there's a new variant, actually two, BA4 and BA5, that they think will really push new numbers of people becoming infected. And you've already gotten new numbers that are showing that there's an increase. Can you go over some of those?
Yes. What has happened is we had about 3 weeks of lowering number of infections. We were under 2,000 last week, the 28th through the June the 5th through Saturday the 11th. It went up to 2,119, an infection rate of 7% in Westchester County.
Yeah.
And Westchester has been a consistent 7% to 8% a week. And this is not good. And it's mainly low because they haven't been testing in very large quantities, you know, tests that are actually validated by labs. And another thing I found that when you take the state figures on the average number of infections per day in the region and in the county, we are running higher infections than is shown on the site. I don't understand that. So what that means, in my opinion, and I think it means, is that people aren't testing or they test positive and decide they're not going to go and report they're positive. And so they get sick, and then they have to go to a doctor, and then they get reported. So I think that's the way I interpret that. I don't understand how the same lab test figures that both the county, Westchester, and the state have for the county show more infections on the official state tolls than on the county tolls. There's a lag there. See?
There is.
One
thing that I still
lag.
can't fathom and I can't conceptualize is why people are reluctant to be as concerned as some people are. Maybe I'm being too cautious and other people are not being cautious enough. And there is still a stigma of ever coming down with COVID. So I think a lot of people who may test at home, and that doesn't get transposed over to the state because you don't have to tell anybody that you're infected. Keep it to yourself, and do whatever you do. And then I even wonder if a lot of people sequester themselves at the end of the day, even if they find out that they are infected by taking the home.
Well, if they have to make a living, they're not going to do that.
Exactly.
And this
exactly.
is a
That's
big problem.
Point.
I mean, if you can't not tell every company should have a policy saying, look, if you test positive for COVID, please tell us, stay home, we will pay you anyway.
Well, that's the brilliant part. I was thinking exactly the same thing before you spit it out verbally. And why don't we make it comfortable for people to stay home when they're infected, and they need to prove that they've become infected, and then they go through the process of self, you know, sequestering themselves until it's time to go back to work, but they get paid. What's wrong with that?
That is the whole problem. I mean, operations want to get people back into the office and working, okay?
Yes.
And this is a double-edged sword because they come back and they're infected, they're going to infect the other people.
Exactly. It's really
and
very frightening.
It's not smart. It's not smart of the corporations or the businesses. And let's face it, small businesses are having a hard time getting people back in. Now, why is that? Yeah, I went to a couple of restaurants this weekend. They weren't asking for vaccination proof as you walked in. They weren't asking you to wear a mask. And we went with people that we knew that were not infected and were, you know, vaccinated as much as they possibly can. But still, it's an uneasy feeling despite the great food that we're finally beginning to enjoy again going out. But I'm a victim myself. I'm a victim myself. I'm guilty. I should probably wear a mask, but you really can't do that, you know, when you are eating out.
When you're eating out, can't do that because you can't eat and wear the mask at the same time. So it doesn't quite work. And you're not going to do it intravenously because it doesn't taste good. But the real issue is
pay people to stay home if they test positive on a home test.
I know, but they don't do that.
No, they won't.
That would be great if they don't. That's if they're retired and they don't have to go to work. But if they have to go to work, they're going to go to work and hope that nobody knows that they're infected. And
why are they doing that?
At the end of the day, but that's the point, isn't it? That the infection and being scared of not wearing a mask or whatever other efficacious conduct you can engage in is a question of financial means. Just a financial means and the ability to function. You need the money. You know, not everybody's got
money.
You
need the money when the food prices are going through the roof. When it costs $50 to fill up a 12-gallon tank of gas, and you have to drive 50 miles to work. You are hurting because you're doubling the cost of getting to work.
Exactly.
And I was talking to my friend Peter Katz, who works for the Westchester County Business Journal, and we were just discussing what is really needed here is price control. But nobody's willing to do that.
Well, how does one control price on gasoline, for example, or on the cost of food? How does one do that? Just by saying...
Well, they're the geniuses. They need to figure that out.
Yeah.
They haven't stopped COVID.
It doesn't seem that they're focused.
They haven't stopped COVID. They have not gotten corporations to hire back reasonably people that they've let go. They've bailed out corporations all across the country. And banks and stock places, but they don't care. They don't care about these outrageous price increases that are taking place. And what happens? The corporations moan and groan and say, oh, our supply lines are cut. And this is true. And then they blame the Ukrainian war. And you know what? The corporations have to tighten their belt once in a while for the better of the country. Once in a while,
well,
I'd like to see that. And instead of moaning, they're the first ones to say that, oh, we really need help, and we need. And however, when people need help, they won't help them. The vast majority.
Well, that's very
won't.
True. It was very interesting to me that we found out that we didn't get a supply of ingredients for baby formula. And it seems that every child that is weaned on baby formula, it's very difficult for them to change to another formula because it doesn't mix well with the, the system of the child. So it turns out that there was one place that was very badly infected, as they found out that there was an infection there, and they never bothered to clean the place up while they were awaiting for new formula ingredients to come in. And now that the ingredients are available, now they're starting to clean up the facility. And I don't even understand why they got away with that, because it's outrageous. It's been months, and the baby formula wasn't available. And I don't know if it still is available. So it's really frightening. The oversight of these issues doesn't come out until after the fact, and even then it's not resolved. Why? I don't get it.
Because the buddies, they're buddies.
The buddies.
Corporations are buddies with the regulators because they're always talking with them, and they get ingratiated. And and you don't. I mean, when is the last time when you were, say, you are pulled over for a traffic stop, the officer? Does he say, well,
right.
Look, I'll let you go. I'm not going to give you a ticket because we know that your heart is in the right place. Do that.
Mm-hmm.
They just give you that ticket. And that
right.
is what the regulators of industry in this country don't do. In fact, you've got Fox News, which basically is a propaganda station, basically, for
yes,
Mr. Trump. And they, I believe, are licensed by the Federal Communications Commission.
Yes, they are.
So they could actually pull that license if they felt that Fox was broadcasting material that was seditious, traitorous, false on a steady basis.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody's even raised
that. But they
won't. No, they won't.
They won't.
But that's where the freedom of speech comes in, but you don't have, and lies as truth. You just don't have that freedom. I mean,
absolutely.
I don't think so.
You're
hurt the country.
Right.
They have hurt the country, that network. And
absolutely, they have. Well, that's what we're going through. It began last week when we're going through the whole process of what happened in January 6th. Takeover literally of the White House is unbelievable. It's amazing the way people flocked. I thought it was worse than a riot. I mean, they literally destroyed, the facility as they were entering, and nobody was paying attention. I don't even know why we had so few people to protect the Capitol. I don't get it.
That was a decision by the White House not to do that.
Yes, it was. Had to
do. And that alone should be enough to bring charges against the former president.
Well,
he should be put on trial for his role in promoting that whole thing. And it's
question. The right word is promote. He told people that they should show up because it was going to be wild. And so he asked them, he showed his hand, and he invited them to come there, and they did. And right. It was
it's very
by
similar.
His words.
It's very similar to Hitler's speeches, the throngs of people that you can see in the Eddie Reinstaller film Triumph of the Will,
yeah,
which everybody
yes,
should
that's
see
right.
Once in their lifetime,
yes, they
should. to see what a strong man government, an autocratic government, actually is like.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's
so how do you pronounce it?
Because
I pronounce her name as Riefenstahl, but that's German. So how do you pronounce it in English?
Heard it as Reisenstahl, but I mean, the fact
okay.
that person
okay, but that's her name.
Basically,
so,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
It was a landmark in documentary filmmaking.
Absolutely.
First
absolutely.
Real propaganda. No, it wasn't the first propaganda film that was totally effective in swaying an entire nation.
Mm-hmm.
It was
mm-hmm.
the second. The first was Birth of a Nation, which was manufactured
yes, sure.
in this country. So we showed the way. We showed the way.
Yeah, that's true.
Perpetrating falsehood.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about something else because
time
goes
so first.
Quickly when we talk. I don't know why.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
bring up a really good point, and that was measuring the female-male barometer. And why is it that women who may be as intellectually gifted as men are, or more gifted than some men are, but the point is there's a disparity. Why don't we pay women exactly the same as men? Do they have to be men? Is it all about their sex? Is that why we don't show them the same respect? They have the same intellectual capacity. They may not have maybe the necessary physical capacity, but in business, do you require physical capacity? I mean, maybe it works.
Well,
like if you're a farmer, you know, maybe you need men because they're supposedly stronger than women. But that's the only place. So why do we have that divide still? I don't get it.
Well, that was proven
you?
Totally wrong in World War II when women took
Absolutely.
Over the factories. They did the work
they
that
did
men did. They did it probably
exactly.
just as well.
Better.
Mm-hmm. And we would never have won World War II if the women hadn't been able to do that.
Well, you know,
and,
it's very interesting. It turns out that women comprise 51% of the nation, population-wise.
Right.
So men are therefore 49. So they're in the majority.
Mm-hmm.
And last I recognized, not that I've seen all the women, but they all have a vagina. Men don't have a vagina. How come women don't have the political clout just by being women to say, hey, this is wrong. It's not working for us. We're getting the short end of the stick or whatever it is, however you want to put it. Why are we not being equal to them? Or maybe they should get more. I don't know.
Because men are afraid of losing their protection network, which is supplemented, but it used to be called the Old Boys Network.
Yes, Old Boys Club. Mm-hmm.
And the Old Boys Network still exists. Even the most liberal and fair-minded publications in the country, and that was proved over the last week when it became a knowledge that none other than the Washington Post had a little flap in the newsroom that apparently one of their reporters made a very sexist or tweet on Twitter, and
mm-hmm.
another reporter, who was a woman, called them out on it and said, this is not right. And then the males in the newsroom piled in, and so did the women, and the Washington Post said this had to stop. So what the Washington Post did was they took the reporter, suspended him for a month without pay. Okay, but then the woman continued to argue, and then they said, look, you have to stop this. We can't have this attitude in the newsroom. and they fired her.
Yeah.
Now,
well,
to my own
there
way
was
of
a
thinking,
time.
That shows you exactly where top management stands. They keep
exactly.
the reporter who did something really stupid and thinking it was any fun, and
mm-hmm.
that means that reporter has no business being a reporter.
Exactly. You would think that,
exactly.
you know, there was,
so
a, time, there was a time before
so,
the war.
He should have been fired. Yeah. Fired straight away.
He should have been.
And what do they
there
do? They keep him.
Mm-hmm.
They keep him and they fire the woman. Now, you know, to my way of thinking, this woman has been reported in Red China. And I'm now calling it Red China. Since everybody's bringing back the past, I want to bring it back too. So that's why we're referring
mm-hmm.
to it as Red China. Okay? And
mm-hmm.
she reported in China. That's a tough job.
Yeah.
So she is no
yes,
slouch.
It is.
So my feeling is that firing her shows you where the management of the Washington Post is really from. They like males more than females, and they tolerate
mm-hmm.
them, and they don't like being shown up, and they tolerate misbehavior. That's what they do. And CNN...
Yeah.
The everlasting credit reported that. It's an embarrassment.
Well, because,
I will
because
never
they
look
could,
at
could,
the,
they,
the Washington Post
they could point
again
a finger at the
respect.
Washington Post.
Yeah.
They could point a finger at the Washington Post. They're not so balanced either. You know,
yeah.
so they've
Are
got they, their own
is any
issues.
Paper balanced? Right. Is any
well,
paper
I guess
really
some
balanced?
People try. There was a time
yes.
before World War II when women were at home. They were the mothers. They took care of the children, and the men were the only ones working. And their job was to earn a living, so to pay for a family and all
mm-hmm.
all the other overhead that went with it. And then after World War II, and during World War II, we realized that women were as competent as men. And then when the war was over, we reverted back to where men got the job. Women didn't get paid. They were expected to do volunteer work, whatever the hell that meant. The men didn't do any volunteer work. And we're still living in that phase. Why are women reluctant to demand their rights? Is it because they don't have enough support from men?
It's a very good... Well, look, what happens when a woman becomes what is known as an uppity woman
mm-hmm.
or a strong woman, she's not respected.
Yeah, she's resented.
She's resented, correct? She's resented
yeah.
and just generally gets a bad reputation. And
mm-hmm.
And God forbid you get to be CEO of a company and you're a competent woman. Unless you produce
yeah.
results right away, you're out of there very quickly in a year. I mean, we've had really,
yeah.
and this is a track record of what happens to women CEOs. Now, what happens is that women now realize that the way they make it is to run their own companies. And this is a real
mm-hmm.
threat because they innovate, but then they get bought off. Somebody acquires them.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a woman running your own company and are highly successful, you have to guard against being bought.
Well, you know, those
are the
same issues, the same financial strains on a woman are the ones suffered by men. There are men who also
yeah.
innovated at one time and are being bought out left and right. But the women have less capacity to fight off an overture because they don't have the financial means to slug it out in the financial
yes,
marketplace.
They get in the corporations and they,
exactly.
in order to improve their profit, they want to eliminate the debt base. But it is really, truly intriguing how women entrepreneurs have a lot of power and they are really looked on as a threat. And I'm tired of the magnificent public relations stories about women who have achieved a lot with companies. Women, mm-hmm. women everywhere are achieving a lot. This is not unusual, but they're always
exactly.
exposed by a business press as most unusual. And how could you? And one of the questions they always ask, well, how could you balance family and all that? And I hate that question. My wife balanced family. We worked as a
very
team.
Very condescending.
Not always harmonious as a team, but
mm-hmm.
that's what you do.
Yeah.
A marriage, family, it's a two-way street, and many men haven't gotten that.
Yeah, I don't know why. Maybe they weren't taught at home.
Well,
you know?
it never occurred to me that you know, I wouldn't help with the kids. You know, never
yeah.
occurred to me. I would
very,
much rather
very interesting.
Be with my children, helping them to walk or learn to skate or learn to ice skate or
mm-hmm.
whatever, than be drinking with men in a bar someplace.
Me too.
Where the conversation is always the same and the jokes are always about women and you never really gain that a lot hanging out.
It goes nowhere. It's really a repetitious interaction.
It's like sports talk.
And it gets boring after a while.
Yes. Sports talk
well, maybe
is
that's,
the way
maybe women
men
are just more exciting.
Bond.
Women
yeah.
are just more exciting. They've got something on their mind, and if you're willing to listen, there's a lot to hear. So,
right.
Very, very interesting, to say the least. We don't have much time, only about 3 minutes left, so it seems that the White Plains Police Department is warning of distraction larcenies on Central Avenue and describe how it's perpetrated
yeah.
and the best practice to protect oneself. You know, how does White Plains react to this issue?
Well, it's hard to say because it's interesting that the White Plains Police Department would put this out, because now what
yeah.
happens is many women shop alone.
Yes.
And they go out into the middle of a parking lot, and somebody says, oh, listen, there's something wrong with your tire here.
Mm-hmm.
And as she's bending down to look at it, somebody else bops in and grabs something, you know, out of the
right.
car or pocketbook or something, whatever
mm-hmm.
they feel is worth taking. And this
yeah.
is something women have to watch out for. And
I got to ask you a question. You know, every time I turn around and there's an issue, and this is a very important issue, it's very pertinent to women
yeah.
And also likewise to men, but more importantly to women because maybe they're easier targets because they're not as supposedly strong as the men might be, or they may not put up a fight so much. But why is it that we don't demand that business have videos? They should be running 24/7 on that property so that nobody believed that they can get away with this sort of stuff. If they try to hurt somebody or steal something or break something, they're going to be on film. Why don't we do
particularly
that?
Particularly large shopping centers with big parking
absolutely.
Lots.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Like, for example, every mystery on every Netflix movie or every Netflix series is solved by observation television in parking
yes,
lots.
Yes, that's right.
Everyone.
Right.
I can't tell you how many plots spot people on CTV footage, which apparently is easily available. It's
correct.
It's a crock. It doesn't exist because corporations are too cheap. They don't
except
want to
we're paying
people.
For their
yeah.
We're paying for their profit margin. Even if they would charge a penny for each client that comes in, that would be more than
yeah.
go to pay for the whole thing. And they could amortize it
yeah.
as well over time. I mean, this is
absolutely.
Insanity what they're asking the public to do.
If I have crumb in the parking lot, I have to do something about it.
I hear you.
Because it hurts.
Well, John, unfortunately, we got to get going, so because the time is up. But as usual, what a pleasure to talk to you. We've got a lot of good issues under the belt, so to speak. You take care. Be well. Stay healthy.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take care, everybody.
Bye.
Good day.
Bye. Well, there we have it. John Bailey, White Plains Citizen, a reporter, publisher, and editor. And now already on the line is, what did I do? Yeah, here it is. Michael Edelman, of course, who is the national and international political analyst and pundit. So good morning, sir. How are you? Good to have you on this morning.
Thank you. How are you?
Give me a second. Oh, my pleasure. It always is good to speak to you. That's why I look forward to Monday. Monday used to not be my best day of the week, but since I've gotten older, I think I look forward to it much more than ever before. Well, there's a lot that's been going on the national stage, and the cost of a gallon of gas has topped $5 a gallon. And is there any way for the president who's taking the brunt of the verbal assault against him, and he's being diminished politically because of the cost of gasoline, is there any way to lower the cost? Is there something that we could do to reduce the cost for the consumer? Or is that just not
worthwhile? Well, it's a supply and demand function. If demand exceeds supply, the price goes up.
Yes.
That's one of the reasons he was announcing a trip to Saudi Arabia to try and get them to pump more gas. But I don't think they're interested in pumping more gas. And their human rights record isn't very good. So he postponed the trip. Getting rid of the gas tax, there's a gas tax that's around. Other than that, there isn't a lot you can do.
Well, what about other supplies here in the United States or maybe Canada? Is that worthwhile considering or is that not?
Well, you can't because we used to frack, okay? And we don't frack anymore, so...
No, we don't.
They can't frack and increase supply.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there really isn't, when we think about it, there really isn't a remedy at the moment, so we just have to ride out this whole process until
and I think it's important to note that it's not Biden's fault. That you can't lay this at the foot of Joe Biden. There's nothing he could have done to prevent this.
And it is a worldwide issue. It's a worldwide issue. It's not just happening here.
That's right.
You know, it's happening all over Europe as well, and Africa, and wherever
you want to look. And so is inflation.
Absolutely, absolutely. So it's tough, that's for sure. I'm sure that you actually witnessed the showing where Ivanka Trump and her husband were involved in the January 6th attack in Washington, D.C. They didn't cause it, but they were involved in it, and they were there. How did that affect you? Do you think that people who were listening to Fox News, who I understand did not cover the event, and whereas others did, are we going to convince anybody or is everybody stuck in their world and they believe what they believe?
No, I don't think everybody's stuck. I think there are a lot of people that bought into the big lie premise by Donald Trump, but there's nothing like the light of day as a disinfectant for lying. And I think for anybody who's fair-minded, who pays attention to what's going on in these hearings, it's very clear that Donald Trump conspired with other people to bring down the democracy, and he didn't succeed.
What I found interesting is I didn't realize it from before, only heard about it at the hearing the first night out, where it turns out that the president, at that time, President Trump, invited people to Washington D.C. and he beseeched them to come, and that it was going to be wild. So didn't he show his hand? Didn't he commit a crime by inviting people to engage in sedition? Can he go to prison for that?
He deserves to go to prison for that. Whether or not they actually indict him is another story. They certainly will indict a lot of the people around him, people who were complicit, and those people might change their tunes when they're under an indictment and facing a prison term. So what he did was the first time in American history that the peaceful transfer of power was put in jeopardy, and it demonstrates that all along Trump was not acting in the best interest of the people he was elected to represent. He was acting in his own self-interest, and so was Jared, and so was Ivanka. Jared got $2 billion from a sovereign fund from Saudi Arabia while he was the advisor to the president.
And yet, somehow or another, they claim, Ivanka and her husband, Jared, they claim that they believed in Attorney General Barr's statement that things were going awry. Can they play both sides of the aisle?
No. Barr didn't make a statement that things were going awry. Barr said there wasn't any
fraud. That she claimed she believed what he said, what Barr said was correct. So she believed Attorney General Barr.
Apparently they weren't on the scene at the time, and they probably we probably don't know what exactly they said to their father and father-in-law. But presumably, if they listened to Bill Barr and they knew there was no fraud, they got out of town. If you know, they didn't stick around. They were gone.
No,
they were in Miami already. And the reason they were in Miami is they knew that Trump was away. Apparently didn't want to have any part of it.
I'm wondering, why was the security of the building not intact? Did we really have good enough plans to protect the government? You know, I was just shocked that there was so few people to protect the property. I mean,
there were hundreds of policemen.
I don't disagree. I don't disagree at all.
You know why there weren't enough people?
Why?
Did not call up the reserve. He didn't call up the National Guard. He didn't call up anybody who could have helped. He sat on his hands and watched it unfold on television.
I didn't realize
that's
that
why
went
they
over
were
my head. You're right. When I reflect on it, you're right. He didn't do it. And so he's again, my God, you know, did he get any legal advice to what he was doing?
He did.
No idea what he was doing. So who would have told him it's okay?
It didn't serve his personal interest to accept the facts.
Yeah.
Personal and financial interest to tell a lie and then to send out fundraising letters based on that lie.
Unbelievable. Literally unbelievable. Never would have thought that would happen. What about Liz Cheney? She's coming off like a star. It's amazing the abuse she had to take, and but she's got a mindset, and she's telling it the way it is. Very, very effective. It's like, I don't know, it's like a brilliant lawyer.
Well, Liz Cheney is doing what a lot of the other Republicans should have done, and that's call out Donald Trump for his lie and his attempted coup d'etat, and she's doing it, and they are not, because they're cowed by Donald Trump. They don't want to be attacked by Donald Trump.
Yeah, evidently that's the case. And I didn't realize, even though to some extent I did, but it just didn't quite hit me so viscerally, that Vice President Pence was really under a tremendous amount of pressure to change the outcome of the election. I didn't think that it would be so powerful. The admonition by the president would be so powerful that it would cause him tremendous, I guess, mental strain, but I guess it would, because he was expected to change the outcome, but that would have been illegal. Is he getting any credit for that, or is
who's this?
Is the vice president, former Vice President Pence.
Oh yeah, he's getting plenty of plenty of credit for doing what's right.
Yes,
and his and
that's
the
what
people around
I don't
Mike,
know if he is or he isn't.
Yeah, no, he's getting a lot of credit, and people around Mike Pence are going to be called to testify. By the way, that hearing mm-hmm. should be starting right about now. Today,
oh, that,
this morning,
I didn't
the
realize
hearing starts at 10 o'clock.
It's starting at 10.
Yeah, it's 45. Well, I don't know if it started exactly at 10, but it was supposed to have started at 10, and they were going to call Bill Sepien, who was Trump's campaign manager, to testify as to what he told Donald Trump about the numbers. Okay, but guess what? His wife went into labor today, so he's not going to be appearing, and they're probably going to use film clips from his testimony like they did with Ivanka.
Wow, unbelievable. I forgot that it was on today at 10 o'clock, so my apologies.
Well, it didn't start yet. I have it up on the TV screen. It's 10:41,
oh, okay.
And they're still just doing nothing.
Oh, all right. Well, so I'll have to Mr. Keston was supposed to be on after you at 11, but he had to take off to California, so I'll probably be able to shut down and listen to the broadcast at hopefully 11 o'clock. Yeah, I will.
Because they're laying out
really
a case. They're meticulously laying out a case.
Yeah, it's really amazing. When I heard Cheney, I was surprised that she's like a brilliant lawyer. I didn't realize that she had that capacity. She like unfurled the whole process. It's mind-boggling. And do you think people
she connected the dots?
Yes, she did connect the dots. Amazing, amazing. And yet people are still clinging to demonizing her. Where does that come from? That's all to show allegiance to the former president?
Sure. Donald Trump is opposing her in her, you know, Wyoming's got, she's a congressperson from Wyoming. I think they have maybe one. And there's no people in Wyoming. There's 800,000 people and a few buffalo.
Right.
But she's got a primary. And Donald Trump has endorsed her opponent in the primary. And her opponent in the primary has echoed the big lie. And you're going to find that that's running all through these primaries on the Republican right. And I'm hoping that all these Trump candidates win their primaries because they're not electable in a general election.
Uh-huh.
That could be the one thing
that throws
a monkey wrench, okay, into the Republicans' ability to take over the House, is that if they have enough hard right people that win their primaries, they will not win the general election.
I've got to ask you, when we look at Watergate, which was many, many years ago, was there something we could have learned from Watergate that could have told us or be a premonition toward what happened in January 6th? Or was that not to be expected? Was it completely different?
Well, it was completely different because in Watergate, even though Nixon abused the power of the office, they recognized the facts, didn't try to spin an alternate theory of the facts. And when the tapes were released, he knew he had to resign. That's not the case with Donald Trump and Fox News and Breitbart and Newsmax and OAN. They are telling a story that simply isn't true. They are spinning an alternate reality. And there are enough people in this country who watch that stuff who aren't capable of thinking for themselves and understanding what really happened as opposed to what those networks would like you to think happened.
Mm-hmm. And is it conceivable that people would not be interested to see really what's going on and decided to tune into Fox News when they didn't show any of the events. So I understand, because I wasn't watching Fox News. I was with, I don't remember what station I was listening to. I think it was CBS. It was ABC for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I got that on my iPad. So I was able to watch it there.
Well, Fox News didn't carry it, but you would think that one of the major networks would have an obligation to carry it, except what they did was
think.
At night, they threw cold water on the fact that this hearing was even taking place. They said it was production by an ABC producer, and it was all fluff, but it wasn't all fluff. The facts are the facts.
No, it wasn't. Just mind-blowing. I think it's not that I'm that ignorant, and I just try to follow a lot of things, but there are just so many things you could follow on, the news cycle is so vast, and it's a big country with a lot of things happening all over the place. I'm learning a lot that I didn't know before. I just didn't realize it went right over my head. And I don't know if it was reported as much as I thought it was. I guess I wasn't paying enough attention.
Well, you're also more interested in other things in terms of your ability to report news that's local that doesn't have anything to do with what's going on nationally. But this is one of the biggest scandals. This historically will be remembered as bigger than Watergate, because in Watergate, President Nixon didn't try to subvert the transfer of power, and he didn't try to subvert the Constitution. He did what the courts told him to do, and when Barry Goldwater went down to visit him and told him that he didn't have his vote, he resigned the next day. No Republicans now, other than Kinzinger, there are no Republicans now who are Barry Goldwater-esque. No senators that are going to go to Trump, it was said that the 25th Amendment was going to be looked into. He did nothing about the insurrection. Steve Mnuchin and others in the cabinet wanted to take a look at the 25th Amendment, which, as you know, calls for the removal of a president if he's unable to or unfit to discharge his duties. In order to do that, you need to have the vice president on board, and Pence was not on board at that time. But I'll bet you if he had to do it again, he'd remove him.
Yeah, he would be. Yeah, I think that would be the case. He would be at that point. Unbelievable. Well, let me see. Let me just check. For some reason, I lost the volume, so I'm going to put it on hold and then put it back on. Can you hear me this time, Michael?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, good. For some reason, I lost your voice. So where do we go from here? What can we expect? This is going to be unraveling for another week and a half or so. Can a case be made to show the nation exactly what happened and what transpired?
Well, they've already made the case. They need to convince a small portion of Trump supporters and people who have not been paying attention that Trump was involved in a criminal conspiracy. Once they do that, he'll never be able to hold office again. And that's really what we want out of this. We want him to be ineligible to run for the presidency. And they're doing it slowly. I believe they have the evidence. I think they have the emails, and they have the messages from congressmen, certain congressmen, to the Proud Boys and the Oath Takers that will demonstrate a conspiracy, and they're going to be able to prove that Trump knew about it. If he didn't know about it, he should have known about it.
He should have known about it. Well, he must have known about it because he invited people to come for a wild time.
Well, there you are.
That's what he told people, and they came. I couldn't believe the arrogance.
There are a number of congressmen who were involved who asked for a pardon. They knew they did something wrong. The congressmen that gave these people tours and assisted them in breaking into the Capitol building. gave them, you know, maps, showed them how to get in, all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
And then they wanted a pardon from Trump. Now they're denying it, but they've got the receipts. This committee has the proof.
Yeah. It really is amazing how far it went, and how it maligned the entire system, and that Trump was able to convince so many people, even though he was deceitful in his expression. And what is it about people that make us want to believe that he didn't do the wrong thing? Why do we believe his side of the story?
People want to think of people want to think that the person they voted for is ethical and competent. They don't like to understand that they got conned, and there are voters, Trump voters got conned. And some of them didn't get conned.
Did.
You know, some of them really want an authoritarian like the guy in Hungary. They want Vladimir Putin to take the reins and to solve their problems. They don't want a democracy.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want black and brown people participating at the voting booth, because they'll lose their white power.
Mm-hmm.
Part of this. And Trump was able to cash in on that.
Do you think that after we go through this process, will we be able to change some of the demeanor in the nation, particularly about people of color and populations and so on and so forth? Are we moving in the right direction? The introspection, will that help?
Maybe. I'll let you know after the hearings.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be very, very important. What else should we be
starting
looking
up right
for?
Now, by the way.
Oh, it
in
is?
In the hearings?
Okay. Yes.
What you're going to be looking for is people who are on the inside did one of two things on or before January 6th. Either they told Trump that he lost, and there are like probably 30 or 40 people that told him he lost, right?
Yes.
That goes to his
yes.
state of mind, because if he knew he lost, everything he was doing in terms of overturning the election was a criminal conspiracy of sedition, right? Or if they didn't tell him that he lost, they will testify as that while he was in the White House, after he lit the flame to get these people to go march down to the Capitol, he watched on television for 180 minutes and did nothing. Call it off.
Yeah.
That also shows.
And yet he was called upon
to
do something.
That shows intent too, because if he's watching it on television, he knows what's happening, and he has the obligation to call it off. That's his obligation constitutionally. Instead, he let it run. He wanted to see people die for him. This is his mindset. This is why he's a dangerous guy.
Do you think that there will be law that will be put in or enacted after this case comes to fruition and we get a decision? Can we rectify this not happening again? Is that possible?
Well, you know, we already have a provision in the Constitution that prevents somebody who's engaged in insurrection against the federal government from ever running for office.
Mm-hmm.
That provision exists. That exists. Don't
it
you
exists.
Know law. Part of the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
So when you have somebody like a DeSantis, we either believe him or don't believe him.
DeSantis is different. He's not. He hasn't done anything that I know
to
undermine to participate in the insurrection or undermine the federal government. So, yeah, he can run.
No.
Good luck with that.
He could run.
I don't believe that the loyalty that these people have to Donald Trump is transferable. And secondly, I don't believe Donald Trump is going to permit anybody else to run. If he wants to run, he's going to get in their way.
Yeah. Absolutely. Unbelievable.
Watch.
Well, listen, let me let you go so you can watch, and then I'm going to watch as well.
Okay.
And we'll go from there. Thank you very, very much, as always. All the best to you.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Well, there we have it. Michael Edelman, Esquire, national, international political analyst and pundit on top of everything else. So we're going to close the hour because Mr. Keston's not going to be able to talk to us today. He had to fly out to California. And the last half hour I was going to do to cover the, you know, what's going on in Ukraine. But that's not necessary today because we can cover that tomorrow and go on from there. So I want to thank you all for being with us. Just have a great day and all the best. Bye.